I, Vegeta, the Prince of all Saiyans, hereby command that you do not listen or subscribe to the Dragon Ball 4 Life podcast. Whatever you do, would you defy royalty? No! Bye!
Attention, please, and welcome to another special episode of Dragon Ball for Life, presenting Fans for Life, where we celebrate all thing fan-animated DBZ content. Well, DB content, not with the Z, because this is technically a GT property right here. But this is chapter two, right? This is chapter two of our boy, Toritaro, aka Toible, at the time. Who knew? We weren't ready. He was ahead of the game. But as always, we are your host, the Fusion Dance Dons, aka the Mon Gods, aka Gods, the deadliest backcourt in the podcasting game. I go by the name of Bro Gita, the Prince of All Sayings, Mr. Matthew Porter, aka Matty Ice, here with my counterpart, the Oob, to my Majin Buu, my den day one, going from the lookout to the cookout, of Mr. Troto Trav. Talk to the people, Trav.
You know who it is. It's the kid, Troll Toll Trav.
It's him.
And I stay chilling and love thy women like Krillin.
He does love
and,
her.
And, you know, Matt and I, we talk a lot. But, like I said, I stay in the cut like Mr. Toy Bot. So,
hey!
I'm saying. And we here.
I'm fucking with it. Nah, but for all you lifers out there, the last week's review, there was a lot of disposition, a lot of new characters.
I mean, even Mikey said, you know, this was his first time hearing about Dragon Ball AF, and like the one thing that I was envisioning with the Fan for Life segment is that we want to be able to showcase this exactly. type of stuff, because who knows when the next Toyotaro is gonna be involved with a future Dragon Ball project. So
yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
And some of this fanship is just dope. So why not talk about
dope,
it?
Dope awesome. AF, double entendre. Don't Ooh. Ask him out.
You keep him going.
Dope AF, knowing the name of this episode.
Yes.
Got it early. But last week, Trav, you so eloquently kind of broke down the entirety of the chapter, and we kind of put our anecdotes in it as we do. Chapter two is probably going to be a lot less explanation and more just me and Trav's deep dive in it, because as you will see in this episode, and if you have read it or are planning on reading it after this, it's just a fight. There isn't really much talking going on. All the characters that were introduced. Yeah, a lot of action. All the characters that were introduced last week are the same players that are a part of this week. No new people really are brought in. So we're kind of going to be less breaking down the chapter and more just kind of covering different influences that we kind of see Toritaro use now in Dragon Ball Super. Because there is actually a part that is literally just repurposed in the Tournament of Power. Toriyama, our guy Toriyama, was definitely studying the notes, and he was like, this kid gets it. And he was just like, hey, remember those scenes that you had used before?
Right.
Let's run it back.
Do you think Toyotaro came to his, whether it was his first meeting or one of his earlier meetings, with the DBF manga, or was told to bring the DBF manga? So to pull inspiration, like, I like what you did here. Mm-hmm. Table that for a future time that we could possibly use this.
Absolutely. I like to think that he showed up with like his hard copies and just like dropped them on the desk.
Right.
And he was just like, I know what y'all want. you know why I'm here.
I don't need a business plan. Here's the business plan. And just just hitting the book on his hand, like, you see this? You see this?
you see me hustle hard, stack paper.
Hustle. Man, it's you and I were talking about this before we started recording, and it's just because you were asking when did this come out, and it came out in 2000, and so
well ahead of its time.
Right. Just seeing the elements that were pulled from this into the actual Super manga and show. But one thing I did want to then piggyback on what you were talking about our first review, and you know, we definitely gave a deep dive on the chapter. And this one, we're going to be a little bit more free-flowing and a little bit more anecdotal about some things that we're picking out from the chapters.
Yes.
But, you know, with the Dragon Ball Super, obviously, Super is machine. You know, you can get the free viz chapters when they release on their website. But also at the same time, too, you know, with these fan mangas, we do also want to provide you guys with a summary of these fan mangas, but at the same time, like, this is a fan manga, and this is not somebody who is with Shueisha, with Toei, who has the backing, who has the money. So we encourage you guys to go out and read these fan mangas. We want to be able to shed light and attention on these artists, because who knows, these artists could be the next Toyotaro, in a sense, where they get picked up for maybe it's not the Dragon Ball franchise, but maybe it's a different franchise that recognizes their talent and wants to utilize that elsewhere. So, you know, we always say that when you come to the Dragon Ball Super reviews, hey, we don't care if you just listen to our reviews and wait for the anime to come out when it's all animated. This stuff right here, never's a strong word, but is not most likely never going to get animated. So you might as well go out and enjoy the hard work that these people are doing at the cost of $0. So
yeah,
just wanted to put that out there.
Absolutely, Trev. And one thing that I did want to highlight just about what Toyotaro was doing at this time with Dragon Ball AF, a critique or a reoccurring critique that the late great Toriyama, I wouldn't even call it a critique because he knew he forgot about characters, is that he tends to forget about characters. My man's forgot Tien was a thing. He totally forgot about Launch. Launch is RIP. He's just like, oh shit, my bad. Like, he's like, it's a lot of characters. But what I really liked about what Toyotaro Toibo was doing at this time, and I feel like it kind of did help him get the job, and we're talking about things that happened in this manga that might have definitely set off the radar, the dragon radar, so to speak, for Toriyama to bring him in, is I love how Toibo was giving characters that we liked who were essentially nerfed in Dragon Ball, like, shit to do that made sense for that character. Like, this chapter opens up with Goku and PyCon training on, I'm just gonna call it heaven until they call it something else.
Yeah, well, let's just say the Dragon Realm, because
I like that.
Yeah, we'll
like
call that. It the Dragon Realm.
So, and PyCon was like, for as limited of a time that he was a part of the series, was like a fan favorite, because, you know, everybody loves Piccolo. He was very Piccolo.
Would you say he was probably the most popular filler character?
1,000%.
I would 1,000%. Say. I feel like he's the one character that, like, when you saw non-canon characters become canon and super, I think there was a large group of people that were saying, well, like, for example, for the Tournament of Power, why that would have been a perfect time to bring in PyCon, even though I did at first I was like, man, why do we keep bringing them back? But then as the tournament went on, I did like the Frieza inclusion.
Yeah, me too.
I could have also, we could have replaced PyCon with
Master Roshi, Tien, Krillin.
Exactly. So, yeah, so he's definitely a fan favorite, and I'm sure that if he was brought back in some sort of capacity, I don't think fans would be complaining.
Oh, no, not at all. I would say that fans would, like, be very happy and celebratory that he's back, because, like I said, like, I would argue that, again, for his limited time in Dragon Ball Z with, like, the pre-slice of life Gohan in high school arc and what the Great Saiyan Man arc, I would say a case could be made that if there was a list of most impactful short-term characters, I'd put him on that list. Like, for sure, you know, for sure. Like, even with his Thunder Flash and, like, the fight with the Otherworld tournament with him and Goku, where they both touched the ceiling accidentally and it was a tie and everything. Just like I said, his weighted gi and the hat and Goku, like, having Piccolo nostalgia, just everything about PyCon, his design. And I wonder if Hit was kind of meant to take PyCon's place, like, in terms of, like, that otherworldly character who's just too cool for school that Goku just develops a mutual respect for, because, like, their designs are very similar as well, and he kind of, like, fills that role, but Hit got to keep coming back, so worked out for him. So what I was saying is, like, what Toibo was doing, like, him having PyCon go as Goku's training partner, I would honestly deep dive and have preferred it to have been Piccolo. I just think that would have made sense, because Piccolo is just kind of, like, stuck in the HFIL.
Right.
And if Goku's gonna go to the dragon realms, clearly he's breaking the barriers of like the dimension that we know. It sounds like he got some pull with Shenron. Shenron could have been like, yo, my guy, come on, Pick. Like,
right.
we out, bro. Pick up the sticks, Pick. We out, bro. But I like that PyCon was used. And then we'll touch on it when we start to get there. Also, a gigantic thing that is a point of contention that we talk about all the time. He actually lets Kibito Kai be a fucking gun. instead of having to just be a fucking bitch out here.
He actually takes action and is like, look, this is my mess. It's a part of my mess. It involves another Kai. I'm going to have to step in. And so him taking his job seriously for once, you know, we've been asking for it. We've been calling for it on this podcast. And, you know, hey, Toyotaro, maybe, you know, he was seeing something. Maybe he was seeing something here.
Yeah. Even him, like with Tapion and his brother, whose name I always forget.
I know. I try to pronounce it, and then I'm like,
Mimosa.
Yeah. The bull Mimosa.
We're just going to call him Mimosa.
Young Mos.
Young Mos. Name of this episode. Tapion,
tequila, and mimosas, man.
Yeah, Young Mos, dope AF. Name of this episode. Tequila and Mos. Even though they're like, not canonized, but even having them in the show, I do wonder. I'd be curious to know where Toible, like, so Tapion and Mimosa exist in this story. So if this is a continuation of GT, I wonder how them not being canon characters from the movies, like how they ended up on the Kai's planet. Because if my memory serves me correctly, at the end of their movie, they just kind of like just go off. he gives Trunks the sword and it's just like, all right, I'm out of here. So like, yeah, I mean, wonder how they ended up on the Kai's planet. That's just maybe, me kind of overthinking it. But
I mean, maybe we can say that in this universe, Supreme Kai, well, Kibito Kai still is, actually was doing his job and was checking planets of useful Kai and training candidates. I was like, oh, these guys seem like they'd, I mean, he does look like he could,
yeah, the hair, a, I was gonna say,
yeah, he looks like he could be a future, yeah, Kai. The one thing I did want to point out as we get into this chapter, but start talking about this chapter even more, I just want to point out I got a little chuckle out of it, was when we get the what has happened so far in the story.
I like that he included that. I thought that was cool.
But what was funny, it was said, you know, up until now, Son Goku and the other warriors of Earth have saved the planet from the attacks of Cell, Majin Buu, and numerous others. I started laughing when he just did not even acknowledge not one villain from GT when this takes place directly after GT. So even in the fan manga, it's just like, yeah, you know, we're going to take concepts from GT, but we're not going to acknowledge GT. So
like
I got a little chuckle out of that.
Take all the concepts from GT, but just not acknowledge that it exists.
Oh, man. And then I do want to then, you know, the cover that we have here, this is Tablos's gi that was in the infamous Dragon Ball AF, and in his sparring match with PyCon, we see a little glimpse of Super Saiyan 5, because when you look, when he transforms to ensure his victory, look, you see that,
you see the eyes, but the hair isn't four, like it's not Super Saiyan 4,
and the skin complexion is a little bit tan, because in the Super Saiyan 5 designs it looked like they bronzed a little bit.
And you got that self tanner.
right like when they, it's almost as if like they went into, to get Super Saiyan 5, you not only have to go into a hyperbolic time chamber, but that hyperbolic time chamber also needs to be loaded with UV rays.
You feel me?
So that when you come out,
gym laundry,
right? the SSJ stands for Jersey. So
that's exactly what it is.
Super Saiyan Jersey Shore, SSJS. I mean, and look, and then Paula D had the hair was always
Look, the JS Jersey Shore, bro. Super Saiyan Jersey Shore, dog.
Yo, let us find out. They're all diehard Dragon Ball fans. Let's get them on the pod.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, and Ronnie, he said, one shot, kid. One shot. How
one
many
shot?
You know what I'm saying? That's all these fighters need sometimes to secure victory. What an error.
Shout outs to Jersey's Thursdays, bro.
Just coming into school error, the next day, talking to people about the latest episode of Jersey Shore. Listen, I know sometimes error, on this podcast we date ourselves, but the kids are never going to understand the day of watching a live show, or not a live show, watching a show that is coming on at one time on a specific night that the whole world is watching, and you come back the next day recapping it with your homies over lunch.
Dog, you during that era, you planned life around Jersey Shore on Thursday.
Hell yeah.
Like, you were just like, all right, Jersey Shore starts at 10. I could still get a little thirsty Thursday in, then I'm going to go home, get my Jersey Thursday on, make sure I got my natty daddies ready.
If you didn't like reality TV, you still watch Jersey Shore.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm not the biggest fan of reality TV. Like, Real World and The Challenge are my shits, because that's like nostalgia, especially The Challenge. That's my shit. Shout out to CJ. Come on the pod, bro. I don't even know if you like anime. Just come on the pod. but reality TV is not my shit, but Jersey Shore, bro.
It was an era.
It was an era, bro.
Their own era.
I ain't gonna hold you. I'm a little sad that like I didn't get as reinvested with like the family reunion, because it's like, what a tangent. Jersey Shore coming back so many years later and actually keeping the entire original cast intact. I don't know many shows that have done that. When they reboot and relaunch, and
especially
keep
this everybody. Season now that Sammy's back and then
returning. And Angelina, like, it's crazy. Like, part of me is just like, all right, I need to buckle down and really get locked in, because I'll be watching like the clips on YouTube and shit, and I'll be like, oh man, Jersey is back. Like, let's go.
It still brings back a nostalgic feeling.
It does.
I mean, everything else is bringing their shows back, so fuck it. Why don't we indulge there?
I mean, it's to bring it all home. Dragon Ball AF is just a nostalgic feeling, bro.
Hey, you know, to bring it all home, as we always do.
Having the Kais on the world and everything. I really like the part where the Grand Kai talked to Elder Kai, and he was just like, "Oh shit, that was him." He was like, "Wait, I was mad informal. Like, my bad."
Well, what was also funny too was that he did not know who Shenron was. He said some weird dragon.
Yeah.
I mean, so hey, at least in terms of some shit just not making sense and what the Dragon Ball characters don't know in their fictional world, Toyotaro got that down too, where it's like you're reading that and you're like, why the hell would Grand Kai not know or recognize Shenron? So, yeah. or know who the Supreme Kai was. Maybe he just couldn't recognize with the fusion between him and Kibito, but when they fused, he still retained Shen's voice.
Exactly. just a little raspier, got a little bit of rasp. same exact voice and everything.
Yo, real quick, I don't mean to go on a tangent. But how pissed would you be after a fusion? Now you got a receding hairline. Like,
Bro, when my shit was straight before,
and you fused, and you got Kibito's, you know, shit. I'll be
if I had like a laced mohawk the way that Shen did, and then I fused, and now I got Kibito's mullet, I'd be sick, bro.
Man, I would scour the universe for the Super Dragon Balls to reverse
undo this.
I said, I didn't work this hard to get my hair like this to fuse, and now I look like I am just coming out of a 1980s karate film.
Like, my man looked like he's ready for a drink at Roadhouse.
That's what I'm saying, man. He looks like he's gonna be playing at the next open mic with him and his fellow dads, like pop punk band that they've reignited.
Yeah, you know who Harry looked like? It's it's so random. It's such an extreme version of it. But for some reason, every time I see Kibito Kai, I always think about Randy Johnson. I don't know why.
Because
of the hair. You know, Randy always had the luxurious mullet hanging out the back of his head.
It just literally just drapes down. There's nothing to it except a straight drape.
And he was just so tall and lanky, and that shit was just blowing the wind when he was throwing heat, just blowing in the wind. I always think of the unit, the big unit, when I see Kibito Kai for some reason. But it's hilarious. But I also... again, like, this kid gets it. We kept saying this last week. That was the name of the episode. I love the part where Kibito Kai, you know, he feels the call to action and he's going to fight. And he does the little Goku, the little two finger salute before he mm-hmm. transitions mm-hmm. out. I like how and Dragon Ball doesn't do the worst job at it. They do a good job with Beerus and Whis, but I do like how in this they kind of show that being around Goku and all of them is humanizing the Kai, or at least Shin, 100%. At least Kabuto Kai. And like I said,
that was a good nugget you picked up with the Goku.
Yeah, you see, we be reading.
I know.
I like how in these limited chapters, like that speech felt like a Goku speech. Like, oh, this is my problem. They need my help. I'm out. I'm gonna do this. Whereas we know Shin in Dragon Ball in canon, he's a bitch, and he's a bitch, and he's very anti. He's very like, we shouldn't do that. Oh, you guys are crazy. What's wrong with you? Like that bravery hasn't rubbed off at all in Dragon Ball.
Nah.
But the human side of it. That's why I say they do a good job with Beerus. Like, you know, he's more friendly. You know, he's more relaxed. He's not as uptight. Same with Whis. You know, we do see, like, with the other angels, they're a lot more stoic. Like, Whis mm-hmm. is a lot more mm-hmm. emotional. He emotes a lot more. He has fun, has a good time, like, enjoys, like, his human friends and whatnot. But I really liked how being around Goku and Gohan and these heroes and watching them risking it all for their loved ones. Apparently this version of Kabuto Kai, it rubbed off on, because my man grabbed the sword and was just like, I'm out.
Right.
I gotta go.
Your analysis there just brought up a filler episode idea for me. Was what if all of the universes, including the ones that didn't participate, so all the universes that did participate, they bring their team. And then maybe a select few others, not a select few others, but like immediate family or something like that. And the universes that didn't participate, you know, they bring who they would have had on their team. And you have a little mini filler arc of a universal cruise where they're all on vacation and hanging out. And like the angels and other gods, like especially the angels, they see Whis's interactions with like Bulma and all the other mortals. And they're like, you seem very close to these mortals, Whis. And are just confused with the relationship and bond that Beerus and Whis have formed with the mortals of the universe. And then also too, you know, obviously with so many universes on this heavy scale cruise, hey, the cruise could be like just not actually on sea, but you know, going through just space and universes. And of course you could get like you could have a quote unquote workout room where, you know, all these universes could mm-hmm. spar, you know, Jiren could and Goku. It'd be fun. You could get a little slice of life while also getting some cool fights, some cool interactions. That'd be dope if you had Goten and Trunks talking to the Pride Troopers and wanting to, where can I apply? Like that'd be like funny to see if they wanted to become Pride Troopers and like and be hired by them. So I think that'd be a fun filler arc.
That would be. Yeah. And we've kind of. I hope it isn't. Let me think of my wording. I hope the other universes that weren't in the Tournament of Power, in my logic headspace, there's no way that you mention them and they don't somehow have something to do in Dragon Ball at some point in time. Right. But that happens sometimes in Dragon Ball.
I know. So my biggest fear is that we got introduced to all those universes in the Tournament of Powers and we don't get any sort of like additional exploration in them, backstories, side stories, whatever.
I could see them just giving us Kaba stuff again, like Kaba and Kefla and Kale.
I mean, at least start with Universe 6.
Yeah, I'd be afraid. See, it's tricky because it's like Vegeta made the promise to train them and he wants to see what they're playing, what they're saying.
I mean, that's
like
an alley-oop.
Yeah, 1,000%. So it's just like, I could see Shueisha like and Capsule Corp and the new Capsule Corp and everything, I could see them just giving us that and being like, all right, we gave y'all this. Don't worry about the other universes.
Right.
Or that in the Pride Troopers, because Jiren seems like he's going to be like a permanent fixture in Dragon Ball. And right. I would love, hold up. What if part of, and we will obviously cover chapter 103 with our girl, but shout out to Bex. Shout out to Bex.
We'll
remember the Trio of Danger. I would really love if maybe Broly gets to a point where he does have his shit under control, but he's just kind of like nerfing everybody. And they call Jiren up like, yo, we got somebody for you, bro.
I got some.
Yeah, like, all right, hold on. All right,
through the car. I got some. Like,
or Kale. Wait, which one's the crazy one? Kefla or Kale? I always get them mixed up. Like, Kale. Which? Kale. Yeah.
When you think of vegetables, bro. Yeah, broccoli.
Kale. Perfect. My man. Uh-huh. But yeah, even
cauliflower.
Yeah, exactly. Even having her come in as part of, you know, like a home and away trainings type situation, because then that's Vegeta still keeping his promise. But that
you saw the Spartan Zero trailer.
I'm just saying. Don't put it out there don't give the people what they want and not give the people what they want, bro. Like, I just feel like that would be super, super dope to have that interaction happen. That'd be cool.
I did want to point out for one of my first details that I'm gonna be extracting from this that obviously was applied to a later arc in Super. So when Kapito Kai arrives, West Kai is like, it's the East Kai. And then he's like, I thought you were dead from the fight from Majin Buu. And she's like, nope.
I love how that explanation like fucked him up. He's like, what? Like,
right.
It wasn't some crazy, oh yeah, Babidi let me live and I've been on their team this whole time. It wasn't like, no, it was just like, no, I didn't die. I was clinging on to life. And he's like, what? You didn't die?
And the first correlation that I have from here, which also leads to another one that I'm going to talk about, is that, you know, we have someone who was in the fight with Majin Buu, who is now returning at a later time. And then obviously we have the Mora arc where, you know, you had the Grand Supreme Kai who fought against Majin Buu. Then obviously absorbed in Mur. So that's why he had, well, Majin Buu absorbed him. So that's why Majin Buu had the fat form, because it represented that the Kai's form. And we see this where we have,
oh, you just reminded me of something. I appreciate you.
No, I got you. You know, we see something that correlates back from the Majin Buu fight. But then the second, like, sort of little story detail that I'm pulling out. And, you know, for those listening, about, you might be retraveling, whatever. Like, he got picked up by Toriyama. So, you know, I'm talking to them.
Right.
But the West Kai goes on this rant about how the Kais have been them being, you know, deities, and in her own words, the apex of the whole universe, they should be the one with the ultimate power, which once again, this literally is Zamasu. He's pissed that mortals have strengths of the gods, where he's like, that doesn't make sense to me. We are the ones that should have the strengths of the gods. So let me infiltrate a mortal's body and take that back. And what does the West Kai do here? She procreates a mortal body that has the powers of a god. But, you know, it's obviously half god too.
Yeah.
So,
man, forecasting. But
what did I remind you? Because I don't want you to lose that.
No, I appreciate you. So, kind of going back to my original point of what I was saying about, I like how Toibo was reintegrating past characters in a logical way, where it's just like, oh yeah, of course they would be doing that. We see that again in the Mara arc, where he brings back the Kais that were battling Babidi and stuff, and we get like the I forget what that Kai's name was. What was his name? Like the Boo's Kai, the fat Boo Kai. I don't know.
Wasn't that
the Grand Kai is the one that was like with PyCon and Goku, but I can't remember what that Kai's name was. The Boo Kai.
I thought it was the Grand. Supreme
the grand
Kai.
Yeah, the Grand Supreme Kai, the Grand Priest Kai, or the High Priest, something like that. But why you look that up?
I mean, they probably all didn't have a hierarchy at this time. They were just going by this shit.
Yeah, facts. But I wonder again, going back to the things that got him hired, I wonder if Toybo's memory.
Yeah, the Grand Supreme Kai.
Yeah, so I wonder. So then it's just Grand Kai is the one that just runs over North, South, East, West. Yeah, and then so Grand Supreme Kai runs over.
He's fat like a Gordito Crunch, so
yeah, you know I mean?
He's supreme.
But that was a character that we were introduced to in the Majin Buu saga to explain why Buu was a bit pacified and got weaker. But then we see how important he really was in the Marl arc. And I would like to assume that that was probably a Torotaro thing. Like, hey, we got this whole well of characters that haven't been used again. And they had very limited backstory, so we could essentially do anything with them and then not break canon. I would like to think that this early groundwork from way back in 2000 was like, oh shit, this guy knows the lore, he remembers characters, and he's able to use them in a place that would logically fit their mm-hmm. character. So it's just like, I like seeing that.
Like he was reminded of his.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you think there was ever any elements of and I don't know if this was a sort of a direct causation, but what if Toriyama had read this and got inspired again? You know, like what? Like I would love to know what outside of just, you know, the fan popularity and just our desire to want this back so bad. You obviously need to be inspired to come back and do it because we all know Toriyama never needed the money. It was never about the money. When he passed and all the creators that came out, they obviously had some sort of interaction with him where he dropped knowledge on them or they were inspired by him. So I would just love to know if you know, because you know how like sometimes when rappers talk about they either hear instrumentals or they hear someone go off and they kind of like get the itch to like go back in the studio like, nah, like, all right, I feel energized and feel invigorated. I wonder if, you know, checking out
unless you're Andre 3000, you get inspired to pick up a flute.
Well, he's different.
shout out to 3 Stacks.
Yeah, so I mean, that's something that, you know, one day when I'm at the pearly gates, I can ask Toriyama myself. But
and we've talked about this. That's actually a really good point. I like that a lot. we've talked about this that us on in the Western Hemisphere, we got Dragon Ball way after, like super late. Like Dragon Ball Z in its original run ended in like 97 or 98. Like the Majin Buu saga like ended 97 or 98. I would take a shot in the dark and say that Dragon Ball Z ended here, probably like maybe like 05, 06, 07, like somewhere in that range. So it's just like for us in the States, the gap between the end of Z and Super was a really long time. It's even longer over in Japan. Like he was done in the 90s and didn't do shit, like nothing. Like, cause he didn't do nothing. He had nothing to do with GT. He was just like, y'all do that, I ain't touching it. Like he was very uninvolved with the movies.
He's like, I'm provided like concept designs and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah.
So it's just like
story writing.
Basically involvement. From like 97, 98 to like what, 2015, 16, something around those lines, whenever Super started, like he wasn't doing nothing with Dragon Ball. So I like that question that you just presented. Like, I wonder if, yeah, like having Toybo, that the young pup, like reinvigorated, like his, like, you know what, let me get back in the lab, yo. Like, let me get back in the lab. We've both said, you know, like, he's been such a mainstay in our lives and he's always been such a hermit that he's just felt old even back then when he would have been in like his 40s. Right. So it's just like him being 68 now.
I never viewed him as young.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've always viewed him as old. So I would imagine like, yeah, like 10 years ago, like when he's getting that itch again, like he was still like in his like 50s. Like, you know,
I would say, yeah, he was still young,
late 50s, early 60s. So he's like, you know what? I still got a lot left in the tank. Look, like, I got this young whippersnapper nipping at my ankles. Let me get back in the lab, yo. Let me get back in the lab, bro. Quick.
And he took the AI approach, not AI generated, but Allen Iverson, and actually embracing the young talent.
Yeah.
We see a lot of OGs in rap, basketball, like that have a tendency to not open the doors for the young
gatekeepers.
Talent. Yeah. And Toriyama, you know, he saw this talent and was said, look, there's gonna be a day where I can't do this full time anymore. And I know that this franchise, my story, my words, my characters, they mean a lot to people. And obviously, if look, if Dragon Ball Super never came back, we would probably just have a million more Dragon Ball AFs. Like, Dragon Ball is never going away.
Oh, ever.
It's never dying. It's never, it's always, like, we're going to be adults. Well, we are adults, but, like, we're going to be older, and we're still going to be
some type of Dragon Ball content.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's timeless, man. It's timeless.
Yeah.
And I know, even though there are some dumbass plots, there is still the element that I, like, think to myself as well of there's still that chance and that, it's probably happening, but new generation of fans are going to constantly be flowing in. And so, you know, you got to strike that balance of, like, do we keep it this level of simple, or, you know, because look, if it was at some Attack on Titan complexity, you're not getting a younger generation to follow and understand. So
that's also a really good point. Or like, it's not as daunting a task as a new anime fan who wants to start One Piece. It's like you don't see nothing but a long ass road ahead of you when you want to start. You're like, fuck, over 1,000 episodes, bro. It's gonna take forever. Like, when am I gonna have the time?
In a way, it's kind of what with Dragon Ball, but you could pick up at a later. You could probably start Super
and especially if you got somebody in your corner, or just like in your atmosphere, who's familiar with the product, they can tell you what to skip. Like, about
let me come in, young.
Yeah, none of that bubblegum Vegeta shit. Skip all of that.
Yeah, copy Vegeta arc.
Yeah, you can skip the Freeze and the Beerus. Just watch the movies.
That shit.
Yeah, just watch Resurrection S and Battle of the Gods. You don't need to watch the anime for that. You don't have to watch the chapter, the season for that. And just come in Goku Black and just, you know, temper your expectations.
Right.
It starts off really strong. For sure.
But we're getting to the point of the chapter where there's also another element that you did want to talk about that was literally, you said, pulled for the tournament power. But so just for everyone where we're at. So Capito Kai shows up to Earth. It's looking real dire. He's able to Kai Kai and teleport Gohan to another place. Well, no, he actually Kai Kai Zaikor away, then goes back to Gohan, heals him, tells him of his plan, and he just needs Gohan to buy him some time. And Mr. Porter, what is that plan that Capito Kai is about to perform?
So he pulls a strategy right off of the Kid Buu saga of, hey, I don't necessarily need you to win. I just need you to distract them. What, before I pull the thing that was literally just used in the Tournament of Power, I love how he made Gohan willing to make the sacrifice play on Earth. Cause I don't feel like that would have ever happened in real Dragon Ball time. Like, when Zaikor was saying, like, he's not gonna fire that, it'll fuck up the Earth. And Gohan was like, fuck it, I can just wish back the Earth with the Dragon Balls. I gotta do what I gotta do. Cause
it did still eliminate that. Oh shit, if somebody dies, they're dead.
Well, yeah.
He said, we good. But your point, he's never thought like that.
Yeah, so I don't feel like him or Goku have ever thought like that. I mean, we've literally seen Goku not think like that in the Cell games when he was at that angle to do the Kamehameha, and they were just like, oh, he's going to blow up the Earth, and he did the instant transmission warp, John. But it's just like, we typically see the Z fighters, mostly Goku and Gohan, but all of them varying degrees. They try to keep the damage to Earth at a minimum, if can. Like, they tip. You know what's funny? I never thought about this. Look at how the Z fighters fight when they're home versus when they're fighting on other planets.
They
give no fucks.
You never even see a mention of, like, hey, let's go move over to a different.
Yeah, like, no, wherever we throw hands is where we throw hands. But on Earth, there's literally a point to always get away from the people when they're on Earth, like, we have to get away from the people. Like, let's go here. Like, they're always trying to draw them away from the people. That's like a reoccurring thing. But yeah, when they are in other planets, they're just like, fuck it, the whole granola arc, they fucked up mad cities.
Bro.
Goku was literally instant transmissioning to different parts, different cities around the universe.
Mad reckless.
getting they shit fucked up.
He said, I don't just walk up into someone's house and grab my feet on that couch.
He said, yeah, I remember grabbing my feet on his couch. but I really liked how Gohan was just like, yeah, anything that happens bad, what we got out. He even mentioned like Purunga Dragon Balls. He stuck to the script that Shenron is gone now. He's like, yo, we got Purunga. We can wish them, we could fix any damage. I gotta do what I gotta do. But
which also highlights the severity of the
facts
of the fight.
But the point that you so perfectly teed me up for, Trav, is we see Kibito Kai's plan is to have Gohan distract him so that he can seal Zaikor in the newly reforged Z-Sword, like how old Kai was locked in there. Didn't Beerus put him in there? Isn't that like the thing that happened in Super? I vaguely remember that Beerus sealed him away or some shit like that.
He was, old Kai was sealed in the Z-Sword by Beerus, and then when Gohan was training with it,
yeah, he broke him off.
But yeah, so I guess I find that
tidbit funny that that Beerus sealed Okai away.
That wasn't over like a disagreement or something.
Yeah, or like a bet. It was something silly. It was like something funny. But so part of Kibito Kai's plan is, hold on, I want to say the name of the technique correct. So because I know what it's called in Super, but I forget what it's called on here. Give me 1 second. But part of his plan is he wants Gohan to distract him so he can seal him in the Z sword. And part of doing that is he needs Zaikor to stand still so that he can use a ancient Kai technique. And while I figure out the name, but it's literally the same. I'm scrolling through. But to set the stage, it's literally the same play that Master Roshi did in the Tournament of Power with Frost, where he needed Frost to be distracted, and then he did the Mafufo wave technique, and he did the arms and the spun him around and tried to drop him in a pot. I believe he did get him in a pot, but when Vegeta almost got put in the pot, that's when the pot gets knocked over. So I guess it's more related to that part. But Kibito Kai does his Kai attack, which I'm still scrolling. I'm going to get this
a lot
name.
Of fight.
It is a lot of fight.
We get Super Saiyan 4, Vegeta jumps in to fire this a final flash.
I love the part where Vegeta was just like, why wouldn't he include me? Does he not think I'm dependable?
Right.
He throws a whole fit like in the middle of the fight. I will say one thing, and this isn't me stalling for time. It was just a critique. It just also happens to help me pass the time by while I look for this name. I did find it hilarious that Kibito Kai's whole plan was predicated on, all right, I need Zaikar to be standing perfectly still so I can seal him. When you have Trunks, Gohan, and Vegeta tag team energy beaming him, my man was stationary for the longest time. like he's literally battling them back, like key blast versus key blast. He's bitching like, oh, y'all gonna jump me? It's 3-on-1. It's like that. Like he's literally
he said, wow, you really gonna gang up on me? He said, fight back.
Yeah, but like it's crazy how like that whole time where he's fighting energy beams, Kibito Kai could have literally just sealed him right there, but he legit waits until Vegeta, Trunks, and Gohan are so spent that they pass out, and Zaikor is just standing there celebrating his win, and that's when he tries to do the Kai Kai Shin Fuhai. So even the Fu of the Mafufa
which is the Kai Kai Divine Seal Wave.
Exactly.
I like Mafuba better.
Yeah, the Mafuba wave is much better. But if you, like you said, like Trav said, we want to encourage you guys to actually support these art, these pieces of art. They're masterpieces, if we're just going to call a spade, and actually go and read these chapters yourself. But if you look at the visual when he does put him in the Kai Kai Divine Seal Wave, it's literally shot for shot, aesthetically identical to the Mafufa wave that Master Roshi was using. And before we had hit record, I was checking the timestamp on when this was dropped, which Trav let me know it was in 2000, because I was trying to figure out what came first, the chicken or the egg. And it would appear timeline wise, we're a bit cloudy on if the Mafufa wave has been used prior to the Tournament of Power. We think it might have been, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure the Mafuba was used before. I think
Yeah, there's some.
I think it might have been Dragon Ball, honestly.
Yeah, there's some gray area. I mean, we never ask y'all to push it in the chat. Put it in the comments, guys. Like, if the Mafuba wave has been used, y'all follow us on DB4L_pod on both Instagram and Twitter, or Dragon Ball for Life spelled out, the number 4, on Facebook. If y'all know that the Mafuba wave was used before, let us know. Teach us something new.
So, well, how about the West Kai acting like real Shin, like, of just kind of just standing there and being surprised that, oh, this is what he was trying to do? Oh, he's able to do that? Oh, you must have been dead for a long time. Yeah. Forget that the Kais could do this.
I was about to say, it's a Kai technique, a secret Kai technique. So that is hilarious that she didn't think about that. But yes, but he waits until Zycor is not doing anything to try to do it. He does catch him in the wave, but his mom knocks it over. I did also find it, she doesn't specifically say that she's Frieza's mom, but I do feel like Kibito Kai kind of let that get glossed over when she had kind of went on her rant about power and saying like, oh, Frieza was a failure. I would have thought that he would have been like, what do you have to do with Frieza? Like something like that
right.
should have been said, but it kind of literally doesn't get, he doesn't respond to it at all.
Like, yeah, I think the whole point of was like, she was just doing her own thing and no one knew about it, which is still crazy. Still crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a fan manga.
True. So,
I mean,
true.
Who are we?
From 2000. So mad shit that we know of now hadn't even taken place yet.
Right. So the chapter ends with the West Kai able to divert the Kai Kai Seal Supreme Divine Seal Wave, whatever, the Mafuba, and is able to prevent it from Zycar getting sealed. But then the chapter ends with Gohan picking up the Z-Sword, still in his base form.
Great callback. Great callback to the Majin
Saga. Because
we never really get to see Gohan cook with the sword because he breaks it.
Exactly.
So I'm excited. I do also really love the something that I thought was really cool, and it was just on some This Kid Gets It. I love when they're doing the energy beam struggle and Gohan calls out to Goku. He's like, Dad, I need your help again, like the same way that you helped me with Cell. And Goku kind of senses something, but he's just like, oh, no, I'm fine. And I love how the Kai, Elder Kai kind of says like, oh, like your dad is in a different plane of existence. Like these cries for help aren't going to make it to him. Like I can't even reach him. I really liked that detail that he took. Have a reason for Goku not to be able to get there really quick because he doesn't know what's going on. I thought that was a really nice touch. Chef's kiss. Great.
Make these boys earn it.
Exactly. And I also, again, going back to my core reason is why I feel that Toible, soon to be known as Torotaro, got brought in is just his commitment to having the characters that we care about do meaningful shit. Like I love how Trunks moves in his manga. Like him jumping in and actually like helping out, like with the energy beam struggle. Like
yeah.
I feel like in regular Dragon Ball canon, it would have been like a one line or a funny joke or let me help and just get swatted away type situation. or like his contribution wouldn't have really been impactful. It was like, oh, flies on my back, like type time. Mm-hmm. But he got swolled up. He looked like ascended Trunks fighting Cell out there, right?
he put that UPS outfit to work.
Big facts. Big facts. But yeah, but Trav, you kind of been speaking it in volume, just reading through these chapters. And again, I'm very happy that I don't remember any of this shit because it feels like I'm reading it again for the very first time. So it's fun not knowing what's going on until we're about to like do these reviews. But you 1000%, because I would say pre me reading this again, I don't think it's crazy to say that a lot of people probably assume that Torotaro is just following orders. Like there's a formula that was already set by Toriyama and Torotaro is just fitting in. But I feel like we're going to see coming up. And when you read shit like this, you see it is really a partnership. Like you can see 1,000%. The influence that happens in the manga, like in the Granola arc, in the Maro arc. In the super, 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 superhero manga art, you can see that it isn't just like, I mean, I guess by default, the student has become the master, I guess. But even pre his passing, you can see that like Toriyama has full confidence in Torotaro to just like, hey, if you got ideas, bring them to the table. If you want something, I don't gotta be the end all be all. I got somebody that's here. I wonder, we'll get stuck here, so we could possibly save this for like a different filler episode. I wonder how long Toriyama's health hasn't been the best, and if the hiring of Torotaro Toible at the time was a preemptive move. Like, hey, like I know obviously no one lives forever, but mm-hmm. I wonder if he like had that headspace, like, hey, I know that I might not be here as long as ideally I would want to be. I don't want to leave these people that love this property stranded in the dark with nothing. Let me start looking around for somebody who can take over once I either step down or I'm not here anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point and question to ask, because, you know, I know that in what I've heard that the team Toyotaro, they knew about Toriyama's health when talking about the hiatus that they're about to go on. Because, you know, at first it was confirmed just 1 month. And we'll return in May, but then like an updated messaging came out and said there's no definite return date, which makes sense.
Totally, I mean, understandable.
It could come back in May, but you don't want to timestamp people that are grieving. So, I mean, that's a good question. Was he ill a long time ago, or not long time ago, like around the time that Toyotaro was hired? We don't know, but I mean, that is a good thing to. I mean, that is a good, interesting question to point out, because which then, you know, I mean, we'll see moving forward, you know, how the story progresses and what they, because I'm sure there's going to be little tidbits and excerpts revealed from Toyotaro where it's like, yeah, you know, I remember when I first met Toriyama, you know, Toriyama sensei told me that this is a story he wants to see fleshed out. And you know, it's on me to flesh this out. We just never got there yet. So, I mean, that's a good question to ask. But, all right. So out of the 7-star Dragon Balls, what do you give chapter 2? I mean, a lot of action, not much happened.
Yeah.
I'll start off this time.
Do whatever, bro.
I'll give it a 5. I mean, it was still fun. It was still cool, but yeah, not a lot happened. I mean, they fought, and we saw the same, you know, like Super Saiyan 4 forms and everything. We just saw Kabuto Kai get in action, tried to do the Mufuba and fail. And I mean, it was fun.
Of course.
I mean, it wasn't like anything. Yeah, it wasn't anything additional that happened. But, you know, I think when I come to these 7-star Dragon Ball reviews for these fan mangas, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more lenient with
I forgot that we got to do that for our homework. Is me, you, and Bex all got to come to the table with what is a chapter that we would give 7 stars to.
We'll
definitely circle back to that, but I fuck with 5 because like you just said, not a lot happened. It literally, I guess, it's a continuation from the last chapter, but it's like literally just a continuation of the last chapter.
Which maybe was foreshadowing for like the Granola arc and all the other chapters. Literally, right. Continuations. Just
prolonged versions of the same through line. But yeah, but I will say 5 is a respectable number and fair because, like I said, it's the intricacies for like minor details that that Torotaro Toible has put in fucking 24 years ago. Like my man them was ahead of his time, bro.
Like,
man them
a time patroller,
you feel me?
On the road.
But my good brother Trav, before we close this bad boy, y'all, you know I always let leave a spot for some Trav's words of wisdom, if you have any, good brother.
You know, I don't for this episode. I tried to think about it, but, you know, I could come up with something right now, but, you know, I don't know if it would make sense. I don't know.
He said, hey, smoke weed every day.
If you can do what? As long as you want to stay fine, ensure that you protect your hairline.
There we go.
See, I told you, I got something for y'all. I got something for y'all.
Oh, man. Well, lifers, we call you guys the lifers because you quite literally put the L into DB4L. And we know that we cannot build this spirit bomb without you. So lend us your energy. by way of likes, subscribes, listens, 5-star reviews, and all that jazz. And the easiest way to do that is by clicking the all-powerful link tree of might in the episode description below. And like we always say here in the Kame House that Toriyama built, whether you watch it or you read it, we all need it. So open up your nerd eye, and we will see you next time on Dragon Ball for Life. Dodon Red. Shout out to Super Producer Mikey and Dragon Ball GT.
Hero, hero.
Love Mikey.
Shout out to y'all.
All cats.
Inter.
Say. And I see the red.
Woo. Yeah.